Well, good morning again, and welcome back to our live stream of Sunday Church 10 a.m. on the 29th of March at St Michael's, North Carlton. I hope you've had an opportunity to utilise the playlist of the elements of our worship service today as your worship at home or wherever you are watching online. If you haven't had a chance to complete all the elements offered to you, perhaps you've sung along with a couple of songs, perhaps you've watched the children's talk, heard the Bible reading, but not yet participated in the intercessory prayers or the final song that's offered in our playlist, you can return to those after this time of studying the scriptures together, and you can also use them at any time through the week for your continued devotion and worship. Or pass on a link to others who may not have been able to worship with us in this gathering online this morning. And so to the sermon of the day. Where do you think you would be seated in the room if in fact Jesus invited you to his banquet? You know, I've conducted hundreds and hundreds of weddings over more than 30 years of ordained ministry in the Anglican Church. And the same question tends to arise between my wife and I on the way to the wedding reception. I always ask, I wonder where we'll be seated during the dinner. And of course, what I'm really asking, I guess, is where do you think we rank in the order of importance at this event? Now, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, our text for today, and those of you watching online might like to use your smart device if you have a separate one to what you're watching on, or you can find a Bible and open to Luke 14. I'll provide on the screen behind me sections of the scripture we're looking at as we go. But in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, that same question, where do I rank in the order of importance of this event, is on the lips of the guests described here at yet another occasion when Jesus is eating and drinking. That's the theme of our sermon series, If Jesus Came to Dinner, because we note in Luke's Gospel, many occasions Jesus is either going to a meal, enjoying a meal, or coming from a meal. And we learn so much about the kingdom of God in these occasions. Now, the actions of these guests described in Luke 14 tell us that they're kind of asking subconsciously, how important am I to the host? How important am I to the host? Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to Luke chapter 14, and let's look together at verse 7, as we begin this section that I've called A Humble Heart, verses 7 to 11. It says, Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seat of honour near the head of the table. Now, for context here, Jesus, as we can see at the beginning of chapter 14, has been invited to dine with another leader of the Pharisees, an elite, religious, middle-class Hebrew group of lay leaders in the religion of the day. And the public and the poor are watching on and listening in to what takes place, similar to what we saw in our study of Luke chapter 7. The guests are vigorously vying for the best seats in the house. They're trying to be seated, as we look at verse 7, closest to the host. The table may have been organised as many banquets in that time in a U-shape so that the kitchen staff could come forward to serve the food and the host would be seated in the middle. So you can just imagine the scene of people elbowing each other out of the way to get closest to the host. And Jesus takes the opportunity, as he's been noted around the town as a rabbi teaching some extraordinary things, he takes the opportunity to teach them now, and he teaches them a lesson about humility. Let's read on, as you do at home, in verses 8 through 11 of Luke 14. It says, when you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honour. What if someone who's more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, give this person your seat. Then you'll be embarrassed and you'll have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, said Jesus, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when your host sees you, he will come and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you'll be honoured in front of all the other guests. And then he concludes by saying, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, to people who know their Old Testament, Jesus sounds here like he's quoting, or at least drawing upon, Proverbs chapter 25, verses 6 to 7. If you know your New Testament, you'll know that the epistle writer James seems to run the same theme in chapter 2 of his letter. And of course, if you know the Gospel of Luke, it begins with the message of humbling the powerful and exalting the lowly in the lyrics sung by Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke chapter 1. So we shouldn't be surprised, of course, at Jesus saying, those who exalt themselves shall be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. That proverb perfectly describes the pattern of Jesus' own journey to the cross, where he submits even to death for our sins as our servant, and then subsequently is raised to life and ascends to God. This is the great reversal of human pride through the cross of Christ that can produce a truly humble heart in people like us. And that theme runs through the veins of the Gospel of Luke. A person who is truly humble in heart would lament at the way others at this dinner were pushed down the pegs of the pecking order. A truly righteous person, that is, a friend of God, would see themselves as lowly before God and not superior to others. God regards a truly humble heart. The second lesson we draw from Luke 14 has to do with God's radical grace. That love that's bestowed upon us though we couldn't possibly earn it, and we certainly didn't deserve it, yet freely it's given in Christ to anyone who will receive it. This radical grace transforms, Jesus shows, our understanding of community. Continue in your Bible with me in Luke 14, verse 12 and following. Jesus now turns to the host of the banquet, the one who's invited him, the Pharisee. And he says, when you put on a luncheon or a banquet, Don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbours, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, said Jesus, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Note here in the text the words reward and repay. It's a hint that in the first century Roman society, reciprocity ruled relationships. There was a quid pro quo system of social politics that was built into the culture of shame and honour. It even extended to the meal table, and so Jesus teaches in this context, it even extended to middle-class Hebrew people at their meal tables. Such was the kind of pervasive influence of reciprocity. So in this setting, imagine how unwelcome Jesus' advice to his host in verse 12 must have sounded. The upside-down nature of the kingdom of God Jesus preaches threatens to dismantle the gift and obligation way of life. In his commentary on the Gospel of Luke, Joel Green says, this change of attitude demanded by Jesus would collapse the distance between rich and poor, insider and outsider. So Jesus knew, of course, his host did not yet really appreciate the radical nature of the grace of God that was even offered to him in Jesus' gospel. He had no idea, this Pharisee, how loved he was by God, how blessed he has been by God, regardless of his rank, regardless of his religious rigour, regardless of his academic learning, or any other trophy that he might produce to claim some standing with God. If this host truly did appreciate God's grace, it would have resulted in a community that was shaped by welcome, inclusion, freedom, and ultimately, it would have resulted in rewards unimaginable in the future. Now, there's a feature film that I love called 100 Foot Journey. It was released in 2014 with Helen Mirren as the star attraction. And it's a story about a talented and self-taught chef and his family who are displaced from their hometown in India, and they settle in a quaint French village. And the Indian family opens a restaurant just 100 feet away across the road, as you can see in the picture, from an acclaimed Michelin star restaurant. And war erupts between them as they compete for clientele and as the kind of classist attitude engages from one neighbour to the other. But in the end, understanding, friendship and collaboration leads to them accepting one another and learning from one another. Jesus' vision too, and even more so, is of a community of inclusion and mutual benefit, one to another. You notice in Luke 14, Jesus is not preaching that wealthy people should be the saviour of poor people. Instead, he calls the ones who are wealthy and have status here to welcome outsiders as honoured and included guests and friends, something only a heart of grace could possibly understand and do. So the 2 points so far from Luke 14. Jesus offers us a humble heart, and when God's grace is truly appreciated, a radical form of community is possible. Thirdly, we turn to the other lesson here in Luke 14, and that is the surprising and challenging nature of Jesus' preferred guest list. If you're looking at your Bible, check out verse 15. One of the dinner guests kind of breaks the awkward tension at the dinner table that's been caused by Jesus' teaching in the middle of it. You know that situation, you're sitting at a fundraiser for a coal mining company, and you begin talking at your table about your involvement in climate action. Imagine how welcome you are. And someone at the table tries to change the course of the discussion. They say, hey, what about those Tokyo Olympics next year, eh? Well, Jesus is that kind of guest at this dinner. And the awkward silence and moment is broken when one of the guests mentions, hey, how good will it be when the heavenly banquet occurs one day? How good will it be to be there? Without being asked to do so, Jesus goes on to tell a story about who will be invited to that great banquet in the last days. Now, follow along with me in verses 16 and following. Jesus tells the story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses. Now, I hope you've already seen Catherine's wonderful children's talk on our YouTube playlist for worship today. If not, please go back and look at it. For in this parable, there's a call, isn't there? Come, everything is ready. Characterizes Jesus appearing in Galilee and Judea and his preaching. Welcome, the kingdom of God is among us. It also sounds very like the call of the angel in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, calling out to welcome all God's people to a great banquet. You'll find a similar invitation in the prophecy of Isaiah in older times. Well, in the same way that many Jewish leaders of the day were rejecting Jesus and his gospel, so too in the story, the invitees to a banquet who are expected to attend drop off the invitation list like flies, even though the feast is ready to go. Now, historians tell us that the various excuses that are listed in Luke 14, verses 18 to 20, would have been nothing but insulting to the host who had sent out the invitations. So Jesus' audience, as they're listening to this story at the dinner table and the public gathering around within earshot, they would have been nodding their heads at this point in the story. That's right. The host had a right to be angry at this point. But what the host of the story does next, the audience would never have seen before. Jesus says in verse 21, the servant returned and told his master what they had said, those who made excuses. And the master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. No one in Jesus' audience that day had ever heard of a host who filled his empty seats at a wedding reception with a collection of outsiders like this. It would never happen, they'd be saying to each other as they listened on. Note in verse 21, they're called the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind. That collection of people is also mentioned in verse 13 of our chapter in Luke. If you like, they were the tax collectors and sinners mentioned in Luke chapter 5. They're the orphan and widow mentioned in the letter of James chapter 1 verse 27. They are the people that the Pharisees of the day deemed to be unclean. Outsiders. Experts in the Old Testament law of that time twisted texts like Leviticus 21, verses 17 to 23. And through that, they prohibited those who were the so-called crippled, blind, and lame from entering the temple for worship. There's even evidence that some taught that that same collection of people would be excluded from the great messianic banquet to come in the last days. Well, if you go back to the beginning of chapter 14 of Luke, this makes Jesus' healing of the man on the Sabbath all the more controversial, for he was unable to walk through his illness. He would have been one of these unclean outsiders in the eyes of the religious community. It's interesting to note in a passage in Matthew chapter 21, after Jesus had cleansed the temple, Matthew says it was the blind and the lame who came to Jesus in the temple to receive healing from him. As we come back to the 21st century and think of our situation, we must be careful how we translate these labels, this collection of people described this way in verse 21 into today's context. Much has been done, of course, good work, to remove the stigma we too often attach to people who are differently abled or of low socioeconomic status. Instead, we should think today, as we apply this passage to our circumstances, who are the ones who we push to the outside of our circles of acceptance and inclusion? Only then will this challenge in the story begin to impact us in the way that it would have impacted those ancient dinner guests. For it's fair to say, isn't it, that most of the time, when we're outside of COVID-19 restrictions and we're able to put on a dinner in our own home or invite someone to a cafe, we like to dine with our kind of people. As our guests leave from our dinners, we like to say to each other, "Oh, we have so much in common with those people, don't we?" How interesting here in Luke 14 to note that it's the outsiders of that society that were Jesus' kind of people, those that Jesus felt he shared most in common. They would have been the people at the top of Jesus' guest list. I listened to one of the ministers this week who works at the Wayside Chapel in Sydney, and he was explaining that in these COVID-19 conditions and restrictions we're under, his workers are still serving meals to the homeless and those who are just entering government housing in that part of Sydney. But of course there's social distancing or physical distancing taking place in the meal space, and so less are able to join in those particular meals served on the premises. So he said what happens now is, after the meal is finished, the workers put on backpacks full of food and they go out into the streets of Sydney to find those most in need and to help them get their meal for the day. He said, "We go to where they are at." What a great example of the mission of God that Jesus embodies in the Gospel of Luke. So God regards a humble heart, we learn from this passage. God's grace radically reshapes our understanding of community when we appreciate it fully. And Jesus' guest list, his preferred people to hang with, really challenges our list. So how can we respond to this today? I've got 3 points that I thought I would share with you. Perhaps at home, if you're with some others in your household, or perhaps online through your comments, or perhaps in any connection you make in a group this week, you could discuss how you would respond to this passage today. For those of us on our own, or those of us with plenty of space and time at present, it would be great to drill down deeper into this passage and its meaning. Spend some time in prayerful thought. Really appreciate the grace of God given to us in Christ in the Gospel. Call on the Holy Spirit in prayer to redirect our hearts to this humility he speaks of. Here's 3 points I think that we can take on board. One, we should recognise ourselves as poor and marginalised before God as the Gospel comes to us. But that's the result, of course, of our sin, as the Bible describes it. We're separated from God, but for his grace and goodness to send Christ to bridge the gap between our sinfulness and God's holiness and purity. We are like those outsiders before God, often by our own choice, of course, and our own actions and our own thoughts. And yet God comes to us and welcomes us to his table by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, let's work, as I said, to more deeply appreciate the radical nature of God's grace, how it can transform our approach to community, who we consider welcome, included, who we learn from, who we share with, and grow in life with. And thirdly, let's ask the Spirit of God in prayer to humble our hearts and transform our relationships with others, especially in these times when we await the release from this stay-home policy, one day in the future when we can again embrace that face-to-face table fellowship that's described here as so important in the Scriptures. For now, let me encourage you to stay home. But let's make this a kind of boot camp time for us to work over our hearts with the help of the Holy Spirit in the knowledge of God's grace. Well, at the beginning of this talk, I asked you to think where you might be seated at the table if Jesus invited you to his dinner, his banquet. Where in the order of importance at that event do you think you would be? Turns out this is the wrong question. See how Jesus concludes his story in verses 22 to 24. I'll read them for you. After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge everyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." See, the question we should ask ourselves is, how have I responded to this invitation of Jesus to all people to have a place of honour at his table? Note in verse 24, the story is referring to Jesus' own invitation to his banquet. How have I responded to this invitation that goes out to all people to have a place of honour at his table? And we might also ask, how can God help me to welcome others to my table? Amen. Well, thank you for joining us for this morning service of worship on this particular Sunday. Perhaps you now want to return to the YouTube playlist to complete elements of worship for the day at home that might help you to give praise and thanksgiving and exercise faith in God. Let me finish this live broadcast with a final blessing to you all and a reminder to keep checking our website and to look out for our regular emails updating you on how our connecting spiritually can continue in the life of the parish. This final blessing for whatever you do in the worship of God this day. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you now and remain with you wherever you may be, always. Amen. Have a great day, and God bless you all.
John, I'm not live on that. Very smooth, everyone.
That's so good. Right?
Yeah. All worked great. No one done okay. Any issues.
Sarah,
good. Yeah, much better without the red light. Just looked really.
That's good to
know. Nice and clear.
Just got a thank you for the sermon.
People really engaging with it. Some people got up early, watched the playlist before the sermon started.
Interesting. That's right.
People were really keen on YouTube to make a cast of it.
Yeah, I've got messages
from Jeff and Jill were watching on their TV. Yeah. Anyway,
I've got messages from Nero and Isaac and Zara. Yeah, thank you.
It shows like getting ready for the church this morning. I'm on my house and I have a laptop and a headphone.
Oh, that's so funny.
Like only them.